A Man's Guide to the Trench Coat. Perhaps no garment is as romanticized as the trench coat. From South Africa to France to Casablanca to London, it has remained functional and almost unchanged for over 100 years. Look closely at the pictures in this article, and you're going to notice that the trench coat of a century ago of World War I, the coat that fought in the trenches of World War I, hasn't really changed. So I hope this article helps you understand that this is a classic garment, and it can add a bit of punch to any outfit. And it has been around. By spending money on a good quality trench coat, you don't have to worry about that money being lost, because this is something you'll be able to wear, your son will be able to wear, and perhaps even your grandson will be able to hopefully wear if it doesn't have too many holes in it. The trench coat's military origins. The origins of this garment can be traced to Thomas Berber. He designed it for British officers in the Boer War. The coats were referred to by the creator's name and made of gabardine, an innovative and durable wool fabric designed by Berber to repel water and keep the wearer warm but ventilated. Only officers were allowed to wear the coats. They were not a required part of the uniform and could only be purchased privately. And from everything I have read and looking at the historical pieces, they were pretty pricey. For World War I, Burberry redesigned the coat to include D-rings and shoulder straps, and the British War Board ordered over 500,000 of them. So this is when they quickly became the coveted item that soldiers saw all over the place. And so the Americans were exposed, the French were exposed, and really, the rest is history. So after the Great War, dozens of Hollywood's leading men brought the trench coat back to the silver screen. Yes, there was a time when actors were actually warriors and they were served in the military. But no, you had a lot of these guys like Humphrey Bogart. One of his most memorable scenes in Casablanca and the Maltese Falcon featured him wearing what would soon become an iconic garment. Characters such as Dick Tracy and a few others, they captured the public's attention while wearing these trench coats. The trench coat again saw action in World War II, again a very functional piece, with the United States and Russia both following Britain's lead and issuing the coats in its uniform issuance to its men. However, it was largely eclipsed by the more specialized jackets tailored to the needs of the different units and the nature of the war's battles. So we saw the trench coat. Because of the nature of war changed, other types of jackets became more popular as well. So we saw the aviator jackets become very popular after this time period, tank jackets as well. And these were often shorter, just the trench was too long, not made for the man who's going to be inside of a vehicle. All right, let's talk about trench coat fabrics. So wool gabardine. So wool gabardine was used exclusively in the early trench coats, and it worked out perfect because it's a dense weave and it repelled water and was surprisingly strong. And that's, again, due to its weave, and because it was made from wool, it still had a lot of the great properties which we associate with that fabric, those being heat retention. It can get wet, actually, and still feel dry. So those are things that were very much drawn after. And with a silk lining, the garment was very lightweight, handsome, and functional. The first jackets were sold only to British officers, primarily because they had spending money. Most of the average foot soldiers, they just couldn't afford how much a trench coat would actually cost them. And so it was something that, okay, if you have the money, we're going to make them for you. And most of them, almost all of them actually, were made by hand initially. The other great trench coat fabric, the one that you see a lot more today, is cotton fabric. So early versions of the trench coat were made with a heavy-duty khaki drill. So this was during World War I that we all of a sudden saw, because there were going to be 500,000 made, that they had to look for other fabrics. Wool was a luxury fabric, and during a war, you're going to see a lot less of it. So it had to go with basically cotton, which is one of the most popular and actually the most abundant fabric on the face of the earth. And although cotton didn't have the heat-retaining properties of wool, it was more durable and could be treated to become water-resistant. It was also less expensive, as I mentioned, and available in higher quantities. Today, cotton is the fabric of choice for most trench coats. And although manufacturers often mix in man-made fibers for better weather resistance and cost savings, you're going to see that most trench coats today, unless it's a really cheap one, it's going to be made by a pretty good fabric. It's one of those items that it's only made by select manufacturers, and usually they do it right. Even the trench coats that are only costing a few hundred dollars, they're usually made out of pretty decent materials. Now, the fit, that's another issue. The leather trench coat. So the leather trench coat is a modern variation, and as such has not earned the status of being a classic piece of menswear. Heavier and warmer than its cotton or wool brethren, it's more closely related to the overcoat in terms of functionality. Leather's ability to repel dirt and water and ease of cleaning have won this trench coat a following among hard-working city men. Unfortunately, the black leather trench coat's portrayal as the uniform of organized crime's henchmen has saddled the wearing of the coat with negative connotations. And I've seen this worn a lot outside the United States. Who knows, maybe in 20 to 40 years, its image could change. But I think if you wear a leather trench coat, just be aware that you can come off kind of like a mafia goon. Trench coat color. The traditional and most common trench coat color is khaki, although you'll see jackets labeled as such varying from ivory to tan. Darker trench coats emerged in scale during the Second World War. From a practical standpoint, it makes sense as they require less cleaning and are somewhat more camouflaged. Today, black, blue, and even patterned trench coats fill department stores and make up a hefty portion of the market. Although some may argue that the darker colors are less sophisticated and turn their back on tradition, I personally like them as they're practical and complement a man with dark features. And I back this up. I mean, the trench coat I own and the one I wear is a navy blue. I simply just like the design. I like the look. It works well with my clothing and my colors, and that's what I've decided to go with. Trench coat style. The style of the trench coat has changed very little over the last 100 years. Classic clothing like this is viewed by many as a sound investment because it lasts and it doesn't really change. So you can be assured, as an owner of something like this, that it's not going to become dated. And so what to look for? What are the things, the little style details to look for on a trench coat? Okay, you're going to see the double-breasted front style. So the classic trench coat is double-breasted, with 6 to 10 buttons depending on the length. Although single-breasted jackets are available, I recommend most men purchase a double-breasted coat, as it will, for 95% of them, be the only double-breasted garment in your wardrobe. So the cool part, this is where you actually get to wear a double-breasted front style jacket. And even though everything else in your wardrobe may be single-breasted, this is your one chance for double-breasted. The single back vent. Trench coats have a single vent, and the whole purpose for this is to give a soldier a room to run, and for you to be able to move on the street and not worry about strong winds, you know, blowing right up your backside. Raglan sleeves. Okay, so unlike a normal jacket sleeve, which actually has, you know, a square end and the sleeve is attached directly, raglan sleeves, they're more relaxed and they flow over the shoulders because they're attached to the full body of the jacket. Epaulettes. Shoulder tabs, as they're also known. Okay, so this was for officers and enlisted men. Officers to attach rank. It was the officers Well, the way we did it in the Marine Corps is you could actually pin on your rank at this point. There used to be straps that you could go through there and they would signal what rank you were. But I know for us in the military on a jacket, we actually had these oversized, if you're a captain, you've got the double bars, or if you're a major, you've got the gold leaf you put on there. So that's what the epaulets originally served for. Nowadays, I think on a good jacket, they just give it a more masculine look because they help to build up the shoulder. The storm flap, oftentimes called the gun flap. So many people assume that this is padding for a rifle, but that's not the case. The storm flap is there to ensure water doesn't leak into the jacket. So it's basically a double covering. It's effectively a cap, and it keeps the wearer dry. We see it on the right side for men and on the left side for women. I'm going to say this again, the right side for men. And the reason this is important is oftentimes a man's going to be in a thrift store and he may find a jacket and it's not labeled as a man or a woman. And you don't want to buy one that is made for women because you may take it home and you may wear it a few times and not realize that the fit and the silhouette are more made for a feminine figure. Although, you know, at the end of the day, if it fits you, I mean, only 1% of us in the world are going to be able to tell this difference and know this little detail. But those 1% of us are probably the ones that, well, I don't know if I'd say anything. I haven't seen a guy do it yet, but I kind of worried someone's going to fall into that trap. Detachable D-ring belt. The trench coat's belt enables the wearer to adjust the jacket's torso and gives him the ability to carry a firearm, sword, or utility pouch. Now, if you're going to be carrying a firearm or a sword and you're going to be wearing a trench coat, you do want to make sure, though, that the jacket is contoured to fit your body. That's going to give you more ability to reach over and grab it. You don't want to use the belt should be used, but it shouldn't be used to the extent that it's the only thing for waist suppression. So realize that you can take a trench coat and you can get it altered and you can get it brought in a bit in the stomach and chest area. And that could definitely help with the look of the trench. How should a trench coat fit? A trench coat should be large enough to be worn over a suit or heavy sweater. It should not be large enough to use as a parachute when jumping out of the back of a C-130. So with that in mind, it's good measure to try on a coat and button it up fully. Make sure you've got clothing on underneath which mimics what you would normally be wearing. And when I look at the shoulders, I think they should be about a full inch larger than your suit jacket shoulders. So, you know, for me, I wear 19 inch, or the shoulders on my jackets when measured across are 19 inches. So I'm going to be looking for a trench that's about 20 inches across in the shoulders. And then down the sleeves, you want them to be at least 2 inches longer than your jacket sleeves. And this is because this trench coat is worn for protection. This isn't the jacket in which you want to show half an inch of cuff. This one you want to go all the way down and fully protect you. And you're going to then have these straps on the end of the sleeves, which should tighten the jacket around your wrists. And this is where, you know, one of the main reasons of them was to help keep out water during a rainstorm. Modern trench coats, they range from about 37 to 45 inches in length. The first trench coats were made longer. They were often worn actually only a few inches off the ground. And you don't see them that long anymore. It's really hard to find something like that unless it's custom made. The tall and the large men, you're going to want to consider longer coats. You want it to fall slightly beneath the knee, as that's always going to look better on a man of your build. If you're a shorter man, this is when you can go for something that's only 3/4 the length, and you want to also make sure that it perhaps goes a little bit above your knee. That's going to look better as well for your body build. Now, I touched on it briefly, but adjusting the fit of the trench coat, you can actually have the sleeves slimmed up, and on average, you can have the torso brought in about 5 to 8%. Now I didn't say 5 to 8 inches. I said 5 to 8%. And I like to use percents versus inches because it really depends on the size of the trench coat and how big you are. But realize that, yeah, 5%. So we're talking on a 20 inch, you know, if you've got it'd be more like a 40 to 45 inch circumference, you're only going to be able to come in a couple inches before it starts to throw off proportions. And I understand not everyone can work on a trench coat. One of the reasons being the fabric is just going to be thicker and heavier. And some seamstresses, they will actually sit, they just don't want to do it because it's not worth their time and effort for their current price structure. And even though on a jacket, this may take them, you know, 5-10 minutes or actually maybe an hour to do this type of work, on a trench coat, it's going to take them 3 to 4 hours. So one way, if they kind of just are hesitant about it, is you may actually need to offer them a bit more money if you want to get it done. And that's just the way it works, guys. Sorry about that. But yeah, it's the same with the overcoats too, by the way. purchasing a trench coat. So buying a used trench coat and thrifting for one, that's a great way to find one and to find it on a great deal, but it's going to be very time consuming. You can also look on eBay, but the number of bidders and large number also of counterfeit items, it keeps going up. And so you need to be careful when you're buying stuff there. But no, the Goodwill and Salvation Army, I've got a friend, he actually puts out a bounty on items. So it seems like all the women and men who work at these places, they know him by name. They've got his card and they know what he looks for. It works out pretty well. He's able to find a lot of clothing because he's got other people looking for him. When buying a trench coat new, you've got quite a few options out there. But let's talk about if you're going to buy from Burberry. Be prepared for the price. The price is going to be at least $1,500 for a new Burberry jacket, and that goes up. And so you're buying a lot here. You're buying into the company history. You're also getting probably, I think, the one of the finest jackets made. They're also going to be made to fit more of a different type of a man that usually takes care of himself. And overall, you know, if you're going to wear it for a lifetime, it probably is a pretty good deal if you get it at an early enough point. And they've got a strong warranty, and again, it's a solid company. Now, custom trench coats, I do make them, and I know a number of other tailors do, but realize it's not something we make a lot of, and you're going to need to be very specific into what you want. I like to follow classic patterns, and the only thing about, you know, having someone make them custom is realize that it's not just about the fabric. There are a lot of other little pieces of the trench coat that a tailor will be doing oftentimes for the first time. Even though I've got a shop and we've got a number of tailors in there, and half of them now do have experience working with a trench coat, the other half don't. And it's simply because they mostly work on, you know, the higher volume items, and the younger guys never even touch jackets. We keep them on shirts. But you can do anything with a custom jacket, but realize it also depends on the skill. So in summary, the trench coat's ability to meet the demands of warfare and meet the demands of the street make it, to me, one of the most classic items out there in a man's wardrobe. Incredibly versatile. They'll look great over a suit. They'll look great over jeans and a polo. And yeah, if you don't own a trench coat, you're really missing out. This summarizes this section on the trench coat.